사랑이 말이에 오랑이 누이에 투이 호네 오파부투 누크에 타크토네 오테타여에 아피네 이아타도 티헤 마우리오라. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
Our Green Desk friend Jack Marshall is eating camembert at the beach in New Caledonia as we speak, so he couldn't join us today. But of course, before he left, he spoke to Eric Warrant, who is a biologist at the University of Lund in Sweden. He is the principal investigator of a study that has found that moths migrate using a magnetic sense.
You've been looking at how moths use kind of these... I'm going to butcher whatever is the truth, but in my own words, you've been looking at how moths use kind of like the Earth's magnetic fields to migrate. But I thought a good point could be just starting out exactly what exactly kind of like moths are, where they live, like how they live, like, you know, big kind of colonies of them, if you are. Because last week on the show, we just had a good friend of mine in about butterflies, and they seem to be in the same kind of family. Butterflies just a little bit more kind of colourful.
Yes, they're in the same sort of order of insects, which is the Lepidoptera, which are the butterflies and moths. So yeah, they're really closely related. But moths there's very little distinguishing features between them, apart from the fact that moths are fairly nocturnal in their habits on the whole. There are exceptions, but most of them are nocturnal, whereas most butterflies, and again there are exceptions, are active only in the daytime and tend to be more brightly coloured.
And do they have, they live in like large kind of colonies, would you say, or is that...
Yes, well, the moths themselves, they are sort of dispersed all over southeastern Australia for during their juvenile stages, so as larvae and pupae. But when they hatch in the spring here in Australia and start their migration, then they end up in the Australian mountains. They come from all different directions. They all end up in our highest mountains just near Canberra and enter cool caves up in the mountains, but then they're aggregated in incredible numbers. So they're in a dormant state, but they come in and enter the caves, and then they land on the cave walls, and there they aggregate in incredible density. So there are about 17,000 moths per square metre of cave wall.
That's a couple.
yeah, that's a couple. Yep, so they're there for 3 or 4 months in that state. And then they sort of wake up out of that dormant state at the end of the summer, beginning of the autumn, and then they leave the caves and they return to where they came from, where they were born, basically. And when they get there, they mate, lay their eggs, and then they die.
And so in your research, you've been looking at how they use, kind of how they travel, how they migrate. So what have you really like found?
Right. Well, the interesting question for us was, how do these moths, when they hatch as adults in the spring in these far-flung areas of southeastern Australia, how do they know which direction to go and how far to go to get to these caves, having never been there before? And remember, their parents have been dead for several months, so there's been no kind of personal experience passed down from any parent. So they just have this in their heads when they're born. So there must be some kind of inherited migratory direction that they have, and there must be cues that they know about genetically that help them to know when to stop. So the first part of our sort of questioning of how they actually did this is to work out, well, how is it that they can fly in the right direction? And so we started to study the kind of sensory cues that we know that other animals have used as compass cues for navigational tasks. I must confess, thought that they would be using visual cues from the sky, like the stars and the moon, as we discovered in other nocturnal insects that navigate over very short distances. These are dung beetles. This is work I've done in the past. I thought that these moths would be using the stars and the moon as well. But for a very long navigational time frame, like in their case, they migrate all night, every night, over many, many nights in a row, maybe even weeks. And during this time, these cues are incredibly fickle. The moon is it comes up and goes down at different times, if it's up at all, and it changes shape and intensity, and it also changes the path across which it moves over the sky. So it's an incredibly unreliable cue. And that's when it started to dawn on us that maybe there was something more stable that they could be using, and then the Earth's magnetic field became the cue that we thought they might be able to use, and we started to investigate that.
It's quite fascinating, really, because I think it's actually quite hard for us as humans to understand these animals, that they just kind of wake up and ready to go, and they kind of have this genetic knowledge in them, because as humans, we basically can't do anything for about 25 years, as I'm slowly starting to learn. But so, do you know, like, what it would be like in the kind of fundamental level, like, what is actually happening to these moths? Are they just kind of following their nose, or are they, you know, just picking up on some... Because obviously they don't know that they're following electromagnetic, you know.
No.
Like, what do you think is actually going on in their heads?
Right, that's something that's a very interesting question that other people have asked as well in regards to other animals that are known to use the Earth's magnetic field. So these moths are not the first animal known to use the Earth's magnetic field. And part of the reason why we started to think about this was that we knew that there were other nocturnally migrating animals, notably birds, that have been well known for a long time to be able to navigate using the Earth's magnetic field over tremendous distances, like from northern Europe to Africa and back again. So that's where we got the idea. But exactly how this information from the Earth's magnetic field is sensed by animals and processed by animals in the brain is completely unknown. So it's actually the last sense we really know almost nothing about. We know about vision, we know about hearing, we know about smell in incredible detail, but magnetic sensation is more or less completely not understood. There are a few, or a couple at least, of hypotheses how magnetic information might be turned into a neural signal that could be used by the brain to understand what the information is telling the animal. But so far, we've actually never found the sensor, the actual group of cells, or maybe it's just a single cell, or even a small organ. We have no idea where it's located in the body, and we have no idea how it works in any animal. So that remains a mystery, I'm afraid.
Do you think that as humans we might have some kind of like receptors or affected by magnetic, or even like, I know this is kind of definitely getting out of your speciality with moths traveling, but just kind of hypothesizing, do you think we as humans have any of these kind of I don't know, inputs that we just don't really know about yet?
Well, in regards to the senses, at least, we know of all of these senses like vision and hearing and magnetoreception. We don't know of any other sense that's kind of unknown yet, at least. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't one. But when it comes to magnetic sense, at least, it's very controversial as to whether humans have this sense or not. There are a couple of people who claim that we have it, but the experiments that they've done have been difficult to replicate. So this has created some degree of controversy. I personally, myself, have got no feeling that I can sense the Earth's magnetic field, and I think most people you ask would come to the same kind of conclusion. So, I mean, the classic kinds of experiments you'd have to do to show this would be, for instance, to have a kind of a training experiment, a behavioral experiment, where you have to be able to detect differences in the field. You can make some animals do experiments like that, but I doubt very sincerely whether we ourselves as human beings could do that same type of test and succeed.
It's not exactly the answer I was hoping for, but, you know, I think that's kind of how science works sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as evidence of the fact that we probably can't sense the magnetic field all that well is that we've invented compasses to go on hikes with that we actually have in our pockets, which tell us the direction of the Earth's magnetic field and therefore every other compass direction as a result. And we have to rely on that when we go hiking in the bush. We can't rely on our own so-called magnetic sense if we've even got such a thing.
Yeah, extremely boringly cognitive beings, but we get the job done.
We do, but we've got our intelligence allows us to invent devices that do the job for us.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.